guys, welcome into the Get Body Podcast.
This is your host, Starcross, aka your boy Cher. And as always, my two beautiful, lovely, dashing, American, all beef co-hosts. Give it up for David Dutton.
The Jungle Kitty.
And as always, the amazing Dr. Luke. And guys, on the episode today, we have the Canadian himself, Andrew Lowen. David, tell us about what we talked about.
We talk a lot about Andrew's life. We've talked a lot about his sports career. We have some very interesting links to YouTube videos that you should totally go and watch.
Actually, quite a few.
We talk about some of the intricate, talk a lot about hockey, but talk a lot about community and love, and get to know a little bit more of if you think Andrew is one of the nicest people that you met, you see a little more of that's a genuine thing. That's not an act. So you should stick around. You should listen to more about Andrew. And Luke, what else do you have to add to that?
I apologize in advance for my smoker's cough that I have during half of this episode. That's all.
Audience, we hope you enjoy the episode. Patreon link down below, as well as if you click on the Patreon, we'll already put the YouTube videos on there. So you don't even have to search it up. Check out, what's his name? Grandpa what?
Russ Sings.
Grandpa Russ Sings. And bonus content, if you want to watch Andrew
getting on at a hockey game.
That's right. Click on the show notes below. You don't want to miss this. I hope you guys enjoy. Bye.
From your life, you grew up in Winnipeg.
Grew up in Winnipeg.
Ohio?
Winnipeg, Manitoba. Canada, above Minnesota and North Dakota.
Go Manitobas.
Go Manitobas.
It's the Canadian version.
I know we had dinner. I didn't even share this, but we actually moved to Newfoundland, which is the furthest eastern point in North America. It has its own time zone. It's an extra 30 minutes. Further than the eastern time zone.
Only 30 minutes.
Only 30 minutes, because it's an island just a little bit further. But yes, it's only 30 minutes.
That's so confusing.
Yep.
Because
okay, keep going. All right.
No, what are you going
to
say?
No, I just wanted you to say, what's the other province that starts with an N over there?
Nova Scotia.
Like, what did you hear?
Nova Scotia.
Sorry.
Sorry. But lived in Newfoundland for 3 years, but then we moved back to Winnipeg and then stayed in Manitoba for...
That's a real thing, though. Half an hour. I didn't even know they did that.
It was so crazy, right? Like, the news would come on. It's like 7 Eastern, 6 Central, and 7:30 in Newfoundland and Labrador. They would say that, you know, the time zones.
That's got to be just like a... That's got to be a Canada. I don't even know what to do
with
that. It
is. There's no 30-minute time zone in the United States.
I have nothing for that.
Nope. One other quick thing about...
Okay. Store that in your back pocket for Jeopardy.
Canada, so like I got into geo guessing earlier last year, which is they just show you a random place in the world. Like they just drop a pin, like you are literally in Google Maps in the street in the middle of nowhere, and you have to figure out where in the world you are. You know what I'm talking about, because we played this.
Yeah,
it is incredibly fun because they just drop you in the middle of nowhere. One of the places I got was Canada. And during one of my lunch breaks, I basically tried to find the furthest point in like a building or some sort of residential area in Canada, in the furthest north part of Canada. And I was able to track that one road all the way down to California. It was a waste of an hour. It was a blast. Canada's crazy because we talked about this in Diana's episode, but like 90% live in the very like south piece of Canada. And then the other
within an hour of the border.
Yeah. Within an hour of the border. Everywhere else is inhabited by penguins and...
penguins don't live in
now. And now,
polar bears.
What's the version of the manatee that's in Canada?
Manitoba.
Yeah, the Manitoba. Yeah.
Manitoba. Okay, so, like, the... Okay, you guys can stop me if I'm getting too off. I saw the Night Country, which is basically... There's a fictional town called Ennis, Alaska, and it's the end of the world. And so it's like the northernmost port of Alaska, and it's dark there all the time. It's incredibly creepy and amazing, but there's these like caves, these underwater, like under ice caves that are, it's, do you know anything about like northern Alaska? Canada, not Alaska. We're going to edit that out.
One take one.
Do not let him edit that out.
I thought we were talking about the same space.
Do not let him edit that out.
They're different. Okay. So moving on. The ice cream cake, the point of it was basically that it's this, it makes me inexplicably happy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because it is good on its own, but there's something growing up about having an ice cream cake that was magical and it was different. Because cake you get. Like, and so part of this, my follow-up question
was, are you going to ask him what was the most nostalgic part of Canada?
No. Like, when growing up, do you have favorites, like, treats? In Alaska. I'm so into that show, too. I thought you were going to help, like, shed some light on that. But Canada is different than Alaska.
Some darkness.
Yeah.
Shed some darkness on it. We have DQ ice cream.
Okay.
Well, that
can you know what else?
But you know what else was really good? Like middle class America,
just ice cream sandwiches in general.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I mean, you don't like a good ice cream sandwich?
So I'm not into it.
Oh. Get out.
I'm not.
I do have a legit question. What is really the big difference between the U.S. and Canada when you look at your time living in Canada versus the US?
Not the actual half hour time difference, but like
what would you say the big differences are? Because I mean, I know there are fellow brothers up north or whatever, but. But what's the difference? What would you say has been a noticeable difference for you?
Well, it's all within our experiences. Mm-hmm. I would say. I mean, a lot of it has to do probably with the weather and how you grow up. I grew up going out skating on outdoor rinks and not necessarily shooting a basketball around. I mm-hmm. grew up, riding bike down gravel roads, and in Ohio, there's barely a gravel road anywhere.
Where you grew up in Winnipeg? Did you grow up in a city? Did you grow up
city? And then I lived for 5 or 6 years in Brandon, Manitoba, which is the size of maybe Findlay, where Morgan is from. And we lived outside of the city.
So when you look back on your childhood, would you say you automatically think, oh, like city, or you think outside the city?
Mm.
Like you feel more gravel roads, or you feel like you're more.
Yeah. I was 8 to 12 or 13 growing up in Brandon. So outside of the city. So those are some of those formative years of just playing with friends and playing outside and running around. And we would take the bus in. We live 12 miles outside. We'd take the bus into the city and it'd be like minus 30. Right.
Oh
and
it would my be, gosh.
Yeah. We would go to school. Here they cancel school. Like it's like, oh, it's 0 degrees. We're canceling school.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me. But I would remember, I think some of the best parts or memories would be it's so flat in Manitoba. It's just fields of wheat and just farm fields as far as you can see. But in the winter, because of the fields, I would literally see hundreds of deer right beside the road as we're driving in, because they'd be just eating the leftover grain from the harvest. So I don't know if this is probably not really going anywhere. We could probably edit all this out because it probably doesn't make sense. But
no. So I just imagine like young Andrew, like in the middle of like stunning landscapes.
Yeah.
Like lots of like nature.
Playing outside. Yep.
Okay.
Building forts and.
Brothers, sisters, mom, dad.
Three younger sisters.
Okay.
Elizabeth lives in Berlin, Germany.
Okay.
I'm going to be meeting her in New York City. She's in New York right now, so I'm going to see her on Thursday. Anne is in the process of moving from Winnipeg over to Calgary, Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Go Flames.
Go Flames. But I'm from Winnipeg, so go Jets.
Oh, Jets.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And Diana doesn't have a team. Go Blue Jackets, I guess. Right. So she's moving to Calgary, where my youngest sister Sarah is currently living. My parents both live in Winnipeg. They live just back now on a farm just south of the city. They have a couple hundred chickens. Actually, shout out to my dad. He's got a YouTube channel called Grandpa Russ Sings, and he sings to chickens because he used to do it for all of his grandkids, and he'd sing like fun songs for kids songs. And my sister made him do a YouTube channel. Grandpa Russ Sings. He had someone from Vegas reach out to him to ask if like maybe he was open for hire for this conference thing.
Singing with chickens.
Singing with chickens.
So you sing with chickens or two chickens?
It's with and two chickens.
Both.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. The chickens are singing with him.
Yeah, they're called the chickens.
So this is the family business?
They're called the Jabber Cackle Choir.
This is the Lowen family, right?
I swear. And he always has Henny Penny, the star of the show, in his...
Grandpa Russ, R-U-S-S, sings.
Your
dad's name is Russell?
My dad's name is Russell.
Interesting.
Yep. You wear a pullover to the gym that says Lowen Family Farm or something?
Lowen Homestead.
Lowen Homestead. Yeah. That's it?
That's it.
Oh, my goodness.
So your dad is on a farm, right?
Yep.
So let me ask you this. Was your dad always musical? Is he always like...
I think he grew up in a household that he was made to be musical.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Word on the street is that you actually were in a couple musicals yourself.
Ooh, I was?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which ones?
In high school, I took choir and dance. I mean, there was 80 girls and 10 guys, and that just made sense, you know? Mm-hmm. So we did
that. You were looking for the honeys.
Is that what they call it these days? Okay. Uh-huh. I was in Brigadoon, just as, you know.
No way.
Yeah, we did
Brigadoon. Gene Kelly's character.
Yeah, I was just some...
Oh, you were like, yeah, some villager that vanished.
Villager, I probably was a villager. Yeah. I was then in Grease, and I was Kinnicky in Grease. And in our version, I got to sing Grease Lightning.
This makes so much more sense when we bring up the dance video of you and hockey.
You were actually training for that moment.
For that,
for years.
Your claim to fame in hockey.
Claim to fame in hockey.
You know, your dad has he has 125 subscribers.
Is that a lot or a little?
I don't. That's more than I thought. There would
is
be.
It more than that's the more Get Bodied podcast?
It is from a YouTube perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a couple of videos with a couple thousand hits on it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have friends who have obviously same era as me with kids. They actually watch his videos. Like, their kids love his videos. So.
Oh my goodness.
My kids are going to start watching.
I'm going to start watching him.
Do you feel like you're more like your dad or more like your mom?
I'd say I'm probably a good mix of both.
Mm-hmm.
My mom is a saint, apologizes for everything, doesn't do enough for herself. And my dad is also very kind, would give the shirt off his back to anyone and outgoing, and will go talk to everyone. And they were just visiting for a couple weeks. They came on the cruise with us, then visited for 2 weeks. And my dad was at the office every day with me, just chatting up all the people on our team. So trying to motivate them and whatever else. So it was good.
Well, you parents still together.
Yep.
Dude, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew, tell us a little bit about a big part of your life being hockey. Tell us about how that started and kind of how that carried through your childhood, high school, college, where that got you to.
I think every Canadian is born with skates on.
Mm.
And So I was as well. And then we, so just when you were walking, you started skating. And my dad actually built an outdoor skating rink every winter when I was growing up.
At the homestead.
At the homestead, but not where we lived, because we lived in other places. But those were some of the best times growing up, just skating outside, skating outdoors. But started playing hockey 5, 6, 7, 8, moved to Newfoundland, moved back, played hockey. And then
you said you skated at 2 years old.
Yeah. There's you had double rudder skate. I kind of lied to you. Like I walked on skates when I was two.
But like, on skates at two, like that, yeah. Like physical evidence, like there's pictures of you on skates.
Yes.
At two.
That's the only reason why I know that I was skating at the age of two.
Wow. That's crazy, man. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or at least walking on skates, or at least standing by myself on ice.
I guess to be intellectually fair, there is a picture of me when I'm 1.5 with a beer bottle. So maybe
you were drinking when you were
1. Maybe I wasn't. Maybe it was placed. Maybe that's the mess, is that I was drinking when I was 2. I always thought, oh no, this is funny. They put it there. But maybe I was actually drinking when I was 2. Please continue with your story about 5 to 10.
We should probably explore this whole drinking thing too a little bit more often.
Maybe not. So you've got, you're skating as a young kid.
I would, to fast forward this, I played AAA hockey when I was, in grade 8. So what, like 13 years old? By the way, that's another Canadian thing we do. If we want some Canadian words, we don't call it first grade, we call it grade 1, grade 2, grade 3, grade 8, not 8th grade.
Grade 8? Mm-hmm. That's great.
That's great.
When did you, you were a goalie?
Yep, was a goalie.
When did you like start being a goalie? When did you make that commitment?
That's a good question. I was 10 years old. Mm-hmm. When I first started playing goalie. The year before that, everyone got a chance to play goalie, and I was just better at that than the other positions. And so played that, and then became a full-time goalie. And I always enjoyed still playing forward. So I would try and make someone else be a goalie every once in a while. But then, at some point you need to start focusing in on it. Did that. Made AAA team when I was in grade 8.
And that's like,
that's like just a travel team or whatever. Okay. Highest level of youth hockey at that time. Did that in grade 8 and grade 9, and then in grade 10, and then in grade 11, I started playing high school hockey, and did that so I could be in musicals and do dance and
meet just, the honeys.
Yeah. Meet the honeys. Yeah.
High school hockey is different than AAA hockey because? Mm-hmm.
Just less commitment, less travel commitment.
So it's like, hey, this is our high school team, and that's not as competitive as travel.
Yeah. Correct.
Cool.
Yep. Did that. Had fun, right? Played 5 high school sports. Not the real ones, though. Like,
wait a minute. Okay, so
volleyball.
Volleyball.
Hockey, yeah. Track.
What'd you do for track?
You threw discus, didn't you?
I did throw discus. Yeah.
Did you pole?
No pole vault.
It's too cold out there to pole vault.
So did some running. I played ultimate frisbee.
Count it.
And I played team handball.
What? And
I was on the provincial team handball team.
That's not even a thing.
Yes.
I don't even know what that provinage team handball.
Provincial. It's like playing on this on a state team. We have provinces in Canada.
Mind blown. You played on your state handball team.
Correct.
I still don't even know what handball is.
Yeah. It's sort of like, imagine a small soccer ball. It's sort of like soccer, but instead of kicking, you throw it.
You get 3 steps. You probably played some version in like some small organized gym game.
It's like ultimate frisbee.
But sort of ultimate frisbee meets indoor soccer meets,
but you're not kicking it, you're throwing it.
Correct. Meets basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Roughly.
Wow.
I'm good. When you go to the, when you look
at it's a professional sport in Europe. It's
When you look at the pros do it, they throw the ball one way and it completely does a 360, go the other way, do insane things in there. It's like, it looks like the ball is remote controlled. It is. It's crazy.
Maybe on a bounce.
On the bounce, yes. Yeah, okay. On the bounce, yes. I forgot to mention the bounce part.
Yeah, I was like, Well, you're throwing it and curving it like Beckham. Like you're just like
sort of like Beckham.
Okay, so you play a lot of sports in high school.
Can we put a pause right there? I want to was there a moment when you realized that you were actually good at hockey? Like, did you have I feel like I'm good. I actually want to do this after I finish high school.
Mm-hmm.
Was there like a moment, or did it just naturally happen with the progression? Or was there a moment where you're like, man, I think I'm actually good at this?
I was generally, for a goalie, I wasn't playing necessarily always in the highest leagues, but I was performing better and had accolades growing up as a goalie.
Mm.
So I wanted to play at a higher level. I wanted to play junior in college and pro hockey. There was a moment we played at the NHL arena in Winnipeg.
Ooh.
In the high school.
Go Jets.
Yeah, go Jets. In the high school semifinals, and you know, just had an outstanding game and we won. And I remember it probably not because of winning the game, but because my dad wrote like this note on this small piece of paper that I found like months later and I'd never seen it. And he just wrote, I think I was the proudest dad in the whole, you know, arena or something like that. So, I think that was a moment where, it sticks out in terms of, okay, I can try and make something of this. And then, yeah, continue playing junior hockey, which is, this gap for hockey players that you can play after high school before going to college. So a lot of college hockey players, when they go to college in the US, often are older. They're often 20 or 21 year old freshmen because they played a couple of years of junior hockey before going to college. So played some junior hockey and had some success. And
so you get paid.
Junior, so you cannot be a professional now. I think with all these rule changes about all these football players getting paid, I think you can now maybe be professional or whatever else. But you could only get paid a little bit of money. I think I was making $50 a week. It was enough to go buy a beer at the local watering hole.
But you had a billet.
But we had a billet. Yes, correct.
Which or billet.
Or BA, yeah.
B-A. Which is French.
No, not BA.
Yes.
B-A.
C'est français.
Which is B-A. French.
I actually don't know if that's how you say it. But...
Sorry. You probably move français.
But a BA is a ticket. So why would a host family be called a ticket? Also meal known ticket. As a billet. Maybe. Could be your meal ticket. Yeah.
Or as you'd say in French.
A BA.
No. Why do you say meal? In French.
A meal. Great. Now you should have prepped me. I should have looked up.
You said words. That by the government of Canada.
Correct.
You are technically
bilingual.
It's yes. Bilingual. Yeah.
Yeah. Meal.
La comida.
I heard. I don't want to say what I just heard.
La comida means food in Spanish. I'm pretty sure I took three Spanish three. So
yes. Do you know what? Comida is
food.
I took 2 years of French. It's true.
Je m'appelle.
Je m'appelle David.
Yeah. So what's food in French then?
Comment ça?
Wait. How do we?
Enough of
je
the French.
Wait.
Je ne peux pas. What?
Audience, if you know, please comment.
Yeah, please comment. Okay. We're way off track. Okay. So you played. You didn't get paid. But you did it because you know, you loved it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And did you do
it? Je ne sais pas. You don't know, yeah. Correct.
Or je ne peux pas.
David, you literally just said it.
Je ne peux pas soutenir. I cannot remember.
So you're playing hockey. You go to school. You get paid to go to school for hockey?
Nope.
Okay, so you went to school.
I went
anyways.
To play college hockey in Buffalo, New York. A Canisius College.
Not a scholarship.
Nope. Okay. I did get a full ride for my third year, but I didn't show up there with a scholarship.
Okay.
I got a little bit of
why'd academic. You choose Canisius College?
Because when you only get one offer, that's the school you go to.
Okay.
Actually, I did get Robert Morris was also in the equation.
Yeah, over there.
They actually offered me, and then Canisius came and offered me a week later, and I chose Canisius.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Robert Morris is a good school.
Yeah. Then they lost their program for a bit, so it worked out.
Yeah.
I chose and school.
There might have been a young lady at Canisius College.
Yes, there was.
Yeah.
There was a few of them.
Oh yeah.
But I found one.
The right one.
Yeah. Morgan Lowen. She goes to like 5:30 evening for all the CrossFit folk out there. Shout out to evening crew. We're more of a morning crew sitting around here.
Do people call her Molo?
You do.
I do.
Yeah.
So this is where sorry, this
is asking more questions. I know. I actually wanted to sit in the silence for a little bit just so you
I did too, but I couldn't
say. Yeah, I wanted to.
All right, here I'll tell you. You want me to tell you some more? I have one. I'm not supposed to.
No, I
pump my own tires too much, but can I pump my tires a little bit?
Yeah,
just a little bit.
It's approved. It's approved by Luke.
Approved by Luke. This one time,
fine. It's approved by me.
Thank you, Luke. My very first college hockey game.
Yeah,
I played at a little town called Oxford. Oxford, Ohio.
Yeah, Miami. Yeah,
yeah. Miami.
That's your Ohio. First game.
First ever collegiate hockey game.
Take a bus ride or you fly?
We drove from Buffalo.
Woof. Yeah.
My first ever game was played. It was the second game that was ever played at their rink right now.
Yeah.
We had lost 5-1 the night before. Mm-hmm. And I was playing in my first collegiate hockey game. And one of the guys was interviewed before the game. They're like, what do you want to do with this freshman goalie? He's like, well, it's first time Miami of Ohio is ranked number 9. We just want to limit the shots and try and help.
Well, Miami's good. Care.
Yeah, they were good. Yeah.
Dang.
And we weren't good. However, that day I set the save record for the most saves in a period and the most saves in a game for Canisius College. We lost 3-1 and I had 64 shots on goal.
Oh my gosh.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, you were busy.
How about this?
What about your dude that's really limiting shots on goal?
I was used to playing hockey in cold rinks. And so this was a brand new rink. This was a nice rink and it was really hot. I was sweating profusely. If ever you guys have worked out with me, you know that I sweat a little bit. Shout out to my sweaty friends out there.
Shout out to folks.
Yeah. That's what I want. You. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, of course.
All right, Josh, shout out to you, buddy.
Am I allowed to say that? Yes.
But they had media timeouts. And so that like saved me. They had media timeouts for this game and I'd never had media timeouts in a game.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like pounding water, like couldn't even breathe in this rink.
Wow. So is that still the record?
64 shots on goal and you let 3 go by.
Yep. We were winning 1-0 in the second period.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Would you?
2 years later, we went back there, ranked number 1, and I led 9 goals. We lost 9-1.
They were out for vengeance.
I want to like maybe share that. Hey, maybe I've had too much success at the start. So hey, there's a lot of failures out there for us as well, right?
That's.
Would your family come to watch these games as well?
Can I ask something about fighting in hockey?
Yes.
I wouldn't have to spend all the time like talking about your hockey career, but like, so you mentioned that at one point you actually broke your hand fighting, right?
I once again probably somewhat lied to you, but
wow, there's like lies going.
Wait, so, you know how I feel about deceit?
Yeah. Well, let me come true. Let me come
clean.
Come
please.
Clean. Thank you,
stupid bitch.
So here is where I had surgery.
He's currently pointing to his hand.
Left hand, fat meaty part.
Left hand scaphoid or scaphoid.
Yeah. What part of the metacarpal is this?
This is where I have a pin, right?
Okay. Yep. It's like your thumb.
So I got crazy part. I was playing junior hockey when I was playing in Nipaw, Manitoba. Yeah. I had to get surgery in Buffalo, New York. I didn't know I was going to go to college in Buffalo, New York, because the Canadian healthcare system, I wasn't going to get surgery in time for me to be able to play my final year of junior. So I had to go to Buffalo to get surgery on my hand. And then a year later, I was playing college hockey in Buffalo. But anyways, back to the story. I was playing junior hockey. We were playing in Swan Valley in northern part of Manitoba, just kind of a crazy town. And I got ran, like when I say ran, I would stop the puck, the whistle would blow, and one of their players would come and hit me, which is not allowed.
Right? I mean, it's goalie too.
Yeah, right? You're like... goalie. Yeah, yeah. And I got ran like three times. We were winning 4-1. They kept having penalties. They ran me again in the second period. They shot it. They came skating. They smoked me right over top. And I think I may have broken my hand then, because what hand is it?
Your left.
My left hand. Here. And the way that you break a scaphoid, Dr. Luke, mm-hmm. is by jamming your hand down.
Yep.
Yep.
Falling, not stretching.
And so someone came over top me. And then the next play, one of our fighters dumped it on net, smoked their goalie, line brawl. I skated down and fought their goalie. But I was only I didn't throw a punch with my left hand. So either I got it broke the play before, or just from like jarring and holding on to him, or maybe a combination of both.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love this. So you're like,
you like how I'm bringing in some medical terms.
But your dude's like, hey guys, like, first of all, I'm going to just run your goalie over because you suck and you keep doing it to my goalie and we're just going to, you know, do this in your house. Right.
Yeah.
So that starts what you call like a line fight,
a line brawl,
a line brawl, which means,
what do you think it means?
Everybody comes out.
That would be a bench brawl.
Okay.
A line brawl is like the five skaters and two goalies on the ice are all fighting.
So like, do you yell line brawl, or do you just know? You're just like, oh,
what happens is shoot off the gloves and they just get
it. Yeah. Everyone, you hit their goalie, somebody jumps you, the next guy starts sticking up for that guy. And by that time, everyone's fighting.
But you said you skated all the way down to there and started fighting their goalie.
Correct.
Because you were like, now do goalies usually only fight goalies, or goalies fight like?
They fight whoever they want. They're the goal.
Normally, because of how much padding we wear, if I was to fight another forward, because it's so much easier to swing your fist without a bunch of padding on, a goalie would lose that fight.
Mm. When you say lose, like for fighting, just really just like, hey, we're just punching each other in the face.
Yeah.
Like just kind of like, hey, whoever's toughest, we're just exchanging blows. There's not a lot of like dodging.
Well, you're trying to. Yeah. I don't want to get punched in the face.
Yeah. No, I don't, but I know.
But did you win?
Well, unbiasedly, yes, I won the fight.
Okay. You said unbiasedly?
How about this? So I punched him a few times. Uh-huh. The linesman come in. They're like, you guys done. And I'd never fought before. I'm a lover, not a fighter. Right,
well, there's like a time allocation. Hey, you guys got 2 minutes.
No, or did they just ask you? Like, they're like,
yeah, hey, I skated all the way down. We threw some punches. The linesman come in. They're like, you guys done? And I'm standing there and I'm like, yeah, I mean, I'm tired. I'm like, yeah, I'm done. Because we were kind of jostling and no one was hitting, you know, throwing any punches. I'm like, yeah, I'm done. And so you learn. You live and you learn. So I let go of the guy. And then he punched me.
Yeah, I knew.
And then I go and I'm like, he goes, yeah, we're done. After he punched me, I'm like, what the fuck? Right? Hey, note to self, first swear word, keep your kids off of here.
All right. Wait, okay, so he punched you.
And then we skated off. And then my coach comes in, he's like, hey, Andrew, you want to play the third period? I'm like, this is not hockey. I'm not having fun. I'm not enjoying this. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go back out there and get, you know, hit by guys anymore. And I'm like, yeah, my hand's hurting. And so we take the bus ride home. I don't go back out there. I don't think I could have. I think I got kicked out of the game. But we go back to – we take.
Wait a minute. Okay, so no lying here. So you got kicked out of the game.
Yeah.
How did you get kicked out of the game?
When there's a line brawl, when there's multiple fights.
You said your coach was like, hey, do you want to go back
in? Yeah, because he probably didn't know the rules. He's like, hey, you're the goalie. You can probably go back in and keep playing. And I'm like, I don't want to. I think I'm kicked out. So I took all my equipment off. Then he comes in, he's like, do you want to, we can get you back. So then I started putting stuff back on all my equipment on. And then they're like, no, you can't play.
Okay.
But anyway, so we drive back and I'm like, man, my hand's throbbing. The next morning I wake up I'm like, coach, like my hand's bugging me. Another one of our, cause guys are tough. And one of the guys on our team goes, Andrew gets in one freaking fight. And then he doesn't want to come out for practice. Like, I'm sticking up for this guy and fighting for him. And I was like, I feel, I'm not allowed to say it. I feel like a pussy.
Oh,
right? He hates that word. Well, I'm happy you said it.
Now that I get where you're coming from.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
And so I go for an MRI and it's broken. It was like the happiest time as well as satisfying.
Oh, you were like, oh my gosh, thank you. It's broken. So I'm actually not a bitch.
Yeah.
Like that's how you felt.
That's how I felt.
Yeah.
Because I'm a three.
You went an MRI first thing.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
No, dude, that I totally get where you're coming from. This
is weird.
We must have had a hookup hockey.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
My second fight was better.
You said you won the first fight. But yeah, you just described to me how the guy let you go and then punched you and then was like, just kidding.
Correct. That's cheating.
Mm.
I mean, I hit him more times than he hit me.
Okay. Yeah, but
your parents were there. You had the broken hand.
Oh,
no, not there.
Not there.
Correct.
Wait, but your second... Okay, so I don't want to spend all the time talking about
fights. Yeah, we want to get...
The second one you won...
Second fight's on YouTube. You can go look at it.
What would you search on YouTube for the second fight?
Was that?
What would you search?
I don't know. Did you
fight a goalie or a non-goalie?
Yes, another goalie. Line brawl. We hit their goalie, line brawl. And I, once again, skated down.
And you knew this time. You're like, oh, I know.
I'm not letting go of this guy this time. I'm not...
Yeah. I'm going to let him say we're done. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, man. Skated down. My dad and uncles were visiting. And if you ask Morgan about it, she's like, when I saw you skating down there fighting, I went completely numb. I didn't know what was going to happen. Yeah, she freaked out.
Great segue back into your college experience where you were basically a
volleyball player.
Yeah.
Practice squad member for the women.
Correct. Yeah, I was a practice. Wait, I missed what you said.
Nothing.
It's fine. I'll have to go and revisit and listen. I was a D1 volleyball practice player for the women's team.
And you were there to go meet more honeys.
More honeys.
Yeah.
I met my wife.
Molo.
We'll have to call her that from now on.
Yeah.
Hmm. You don't like that, Luke?
So what was you guys' relationship like then throughout college?
Oof, that's a great question.
And what was it like when you continued your hockey experience outside of college?
Morgan and I... And she can either validate or invalidate these statements. So go talk to her afterwards. But I believe we were always really on the same page in terms of our relationship. We started out as friends. We each had long distance relationships. By friends, she had a few roommates. We had a few roommates. No one was dating anyone. And we get together and for game nights and things like that. So it was just started as just a friendship. And then we both broke up with our long distance relationships, and we were at the bar one night and Morgan goes, do you need a ride home? And I said, sure. And then there was another guy in the car, so I made some messages.
Hey, you need a ride home? You're like, sure. And then you hop in the car, you're like,
who's this guy? Who's this
guy? I'm like, hey, I still need a ride home. This is ideal. I don't have to pay for a ride home.
Wait, did you sit in the front seat?
I don't.
Yeah, who won out of this, car endeavor? Who sat in the front seat? That's the winner.
I don't. I think it doesn't matter who sits in the front seat.
Ah.
It matters who gets dropped off first.
Oh, yeah, that's probably true.
That's true.
Okay. So you got dropped off second.
Correct.
Mm.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. And then we were just, figuring out life and kind of just friends and... From that standpoint, then it got to a point where we're either, should I like get crazy?
Whatever you want.
I made out with her French roommate.
Oh, oui.
This is how it happened. It sounds way worse than it is. It sounds way worse. So here's my mistakes, right? Like, don't make out with a roommate, even if the French roommate is an exchange student, takes your cell phone. Everyone goes to the bar and Morgan's actually buying you a drink. And then she goes, give me a kiss and I'll give you your phone back. And so I give her a kiss and she's like, that's not a real kiss. So I kissed her and then I looked over it with Morgan holding a drink for me and saw that she saw and she turned around and started walking out. I'm like, all right, well, we're either doing this or not doing this, right? So
Whoa. And then you chased after her. Talk about DTR.
Wait a minute. And she was like, hey, that's fine.
She's like, not fine. She's like,
What happened?
That didn't, that hurt a little bit. We haven't, you know, I know we're not technically truly dating, but I'm like, all right, well, let's do this then. So that was TSN turning point, as fellow Canadians would know what that means.
What is it?
TSN, the sports network. It's the turning point in a game when someone
turns the
Just tide. Go look it up. Just go look it up.
I used DTR. Do you know what that is?
No, I have no clue.
Define the relationship. Oh, you
know, yeah.
Yeah.
That's how at least I our yeah, generation I uses it.
Cool. DTR. Define it.
Define the relationship.
Define the relationship.
Yeah.
TSN.
So, and Morgan's from Findlay, Ohio. Correct. So did you guys, during moments when you guys were on spring break or summer vacation or whatever, did you guys keep a long distance relationship?
So what happened was after we kind of went through that DTR, find the relationship. Thank you for that. I don't know, probably a few weeks later, I'm like, oh, you want to come visit me in Canada this summer? Thinking like, that's not going to happen. And she goes, yeah. I'm like, oh shit, I should probably ask my parents. And yeah. And so Morgan came to Canada that summer and then invited me to Ohio after. So I think that even that she can confirm, I believe it was still that same summer that I then later on went to Ohio. But when Morgan was leaving the airport or leaving Winnipeg to fly back to Ohio, that's when she said she loved me.
Mm.
That was the first time she said she loved me. And I did respond back and said that I loved her as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so once again, I would say we were always fairly on the same page in terms of where we were at and if we were, you know, taking things to the next level or whatever else.
So then what did you guys' relationship then look like when you continued your hockey career?
Mm-hmm.
And what did she do?
So Morgan graduated with a teaching degree and came back to Findlay and then taught in Cary, Ohio. You drive up to Findlay, you drive past it on 23. She coached volleyball there and coached for 2 years. While the first year we did long distance, I was still in college. The second year I went and played minor pro hockey in Columbus, Georgia.
Yeah. 2013, right?
2010.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, 2011. Okay. Yeah. I'm tracking now.
Yeah. 2010.
So when you played, so were you at the point you graduated, mm-hmm. were you like, hey, I think I'd love to play NHL. I'd love to play pro hockey. Were you like, hey, I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do. I still got a little bit of stuff ahead of me. Like,
I'm like, I want to play in the Southern, I want to play in the East Coast Hockey League, try and make the American Hockey League, try and play at that level and get paid to play hockey. Would love to play in the NHL, but didn't expect anything like that.
Did you tell them that you had the record of 64 saves in a period?
61 saves in a game. Probably was on my bio. I'm sure they could have found it. I guess where was I going with this stuff?
I didn't mean to throw you off
track.
I mean, I was just thinking, like, what was your thoughts? Because you played for a little bit and then.
Yeah, I wanted to play minor pro hockey, wanted to keep living the childhood dream, wanted to see that come as to the fruition. So tried out in the American Hockey League for the Manitoba Moose, got where I was from, got cut, which I didn't expect to make the team, but stayed there longer than I thought I would. Went to the Central Hockey League, the Colorado Eagles, which was basically the same level as the East Coast Hockey League, was there, did well, but got cut, went home, was the best man that weekend, and got a phone call from city in Columbus, Georgia, the Columbus Cottonmouths, poisonous snake. Yeah, pretty exciting team name there. And went down to Columbus. So was the best man. That was awesome. Got to, you know, have that experience and then was able to go back to Columbus, Georgia and start my minor pro hockey career.
What's that like being cut from a team? Because I see it in movies, but I've never had that as my career and never been like, yeah, I mean, is it something you're like, I kind of know this is coming, or is it just kind of like, hey, I knew this could happen at some day. Is it like, man, this is kind of life shattering. What's it like?
Think it depends on the spectrum you're on from a delusional level. Zero to
Delulu. You're speaking my language. Let's go.
And so I feel that I had a pretty good understanding of where I was in the pecking order on when I got cut on both of those teams. You know, I had this outside chance or hope that, you know, because I was performing at the level that I was, that they'd keep me around. But I also knew who else was there from a goalie standpoint. There's only two goalie positions on the team. So it's a little bit easier to see where you're at from that standpoint. So I wasn't completely surprised and went home and never thought I'd ever play in the Southern Professional Hockey League. It had a reputation for more of a fighting league. And I didn't know if I wanted to go do it, but I trained all summer and I figured I'd go and live that dream for a year. Went down and wonderful decision to go down to Columbus, Georgia and play some minor pro hockey.
During this whole experience as from a kid at the age of two to then playing minor league hockey, how do you think hockey shaped you as a man? And what character aspects or what traits did it build in you?
I was never the best. And so a lot of it came with just consistent effort, which allowed me to just have success. I think being a good teammate was important and being consistent from an attitude standpoint allowed me to have success, win a championship in junior and, you know, build some strong bonds. My favorite part about hockey is, especially when I got to minor pro, was just the fact that my job was to be in shape and it wasn't necessarily about, making money or any of that. The games were wonderful and having fans and that's cool, but just being in a locker room with a team of, community of people was very important. I think one of the other lessons that probably helped shape me for that growing up was when I was first started playing AAA hockey. I remember being at the mall or something like that with my dad, and I was wearing my AAA jacket thinking I was all cool. And I saw some other, guy wearing his Letterman jacket, AA jacket. And I'm like, Dad, if I was wearing that AA jacket, I'd be embarrassed. And my dad looked at me and said, if you ever say that again, you will never wear that jacket again. And so just being humbled in that experience to be appreciative of, the ability to play at a certain level and to work hard for it. Another lesson I learned from my dad was he said, Andrew, if you want to play travel hockey, you have to work for the summer to help pay for your travel hockey. So I think I learned some lessons to really love it, enjoy it, and do it for the right reasons. I think a lot of parents will also often push their kids and baby their kids and tell them how amazing they are. And I think the fact that I had to choose to play travel hockey and choose to help contribute towards that, and then a little bit of tough love, but also a lot of love in terms of after a game, my dad would be like, you play great, I love you, and where do you want to go eat? Right? Kind of those three questions or statements. And so I enjoyed it growing up, which had fueled the passion to continue to play. But community was, and this can be a continued theme, I guess, throughout the rest of this podcast, but I think community is just so important in life, to find good people to be around. It really influences all of us, but specifically myself, just being surrounded by good people is very, very important.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that a good answer?
It's great. It's great. I think during dinner, you had mentioned four kind of aspects that you look for in your current job mm-hmm. as a regional, is it regional director of sales in Aflac? Is that the title?
Is it assistant to the regional director?
Regional sales coordinator.
Regional sales coordinator. Mm-hmm. You had mentioned four different mm-hmm. kind of aspects that you look for when you're interviewing someone, mm-hmm. Which you eventually transitioned your hockey career from that to Aflac, I guess.
Yeah.
You kind of started all over the place. But tell us a little bit how you got to Aflac and what the community was like there.
I went down to play minor pro hockey. And the cool thing about Columbus, Georgia is that you can golf year round. And the other cool thing is that Aflac also owned our hockey team, right? So I knew I wasn't going to play for the Winnipeg Jets or the Columbus Blue Jackets or in the NHL at that point. So I went and got a master's degree, my master's of business administration, and an MBA and hockey experience don't really equate to very much. Mm. So I went to my hockey team owner, Shelby Amos, who passed away a couple months ago, went to his funeral. Yep. Shout out to Shelby and Wanda. But went to Shelby and said, "Hey, Shelby, can I get a job in the marketing department at Aflac?" And he goes, "No, you play hockey for me." I'm like, "Shelby, please make an introduction." So I created a volunteer internship in the marketing department over the summer. And after volunteering, the hockey season started up and they ended up, I guess, a lesson, right? To project what your hopes, your goals, and your dreams. When I went for my introduction to Aflac, I said, I'd love some experience. Can I volunteer? And if I volunteer over the summer and the hockey season starts up, maybe you could hire me on part-time. And after the hockey season ends, I'll be ready to retire and grow up and you could hire me on full-time. So what happens was create this part-time internship full-time internship, volunteer internship that I got a mentoring opportunity with a VP an hour every week. And then when the hockey season started up, my direct boss had found out that I wasn't getting paid. And although I told these people that maybe it could work out, she never knew of any of those conversations. And I had projected this out into the world. She actually went herself and requested the financial ability to hire me on part-time during the hockey season.
Wow.
So it's crazy how you can, you know, law of attraction or whatever you want to call it, just put it out there and go get some stuff. But after the end of the hockey season, they hired me on full time. And 2 months after that, I wasn't done living the childhood dream of playing minor pro hockey. So I quit Aflac corporate and moved to the sales side, which I've been doing now for the last 11 years.
Tell us a little bit about the four aspects that you had mentioned.
So I've been able, or I've learned to communicate what I'm looking for in an individual. As welcome to the business world, we're always looking for the right people. And so what I've communicated and why I believe I've been successful, I was promoted 3 times my first 5 years on the sales side with Aflac. And I really attribute it to 4 things. Number one is I'm just really good at working hard. Number two, I'm really good at being accountable to myself. Number three, I'm really good at being accountable to a team. And number four, as I shared at dinner, I'm freaking awesome at being positive. And I just, you know, there's that level of having some attributes that you want to stand for and kind of your war cry or whatever you want to call it to make a difference. And that's really what I look for from, I just want to be around good people.
That's good.
It is good. That's why I'm here. I'm around good people.
It's fascinating how all four of those aspects kind of come out into your, I can see some parallels between those four things in hockey. One, I think being some sort of professional, like you were a professional athlete, mm-hmm. there's a lot of hard work and dedication in that. The fact that you were a goalie, there's some accountability that you have to hold of, oh, you know what? I let those 3 goals come through. Or that 9 the second time you played them and lost 9-1. But then you're still held accountable to a team sport. But then the fourth part is you got to stay positive because you've got another game coming up. So I think I can clearly see how hockey kind of has shaped you, but that's just who you are through and through.
Yeah, it's kind of come to this, like I said, just figuring out how to communicate this. When I was just taking half a step back, I think two of the courses that have shaped me the most in college, one was in my undergraduate, and it was Entrepreneurship 101. I graduated with a double major in entrepreneurship and management, but Entrepreneurship 101 taught me how to think outside of the box. And then the next class that was the best class I ever took was coaching in my master's degree. It was an elective. And I thought, just like any dumb hockey player, I thought coaching was like, oh, maybe it's like coaching, like learning how to coach athletes. No, it was like organizational executive coaching, but it was the next best class I've ever taken. And it was really teaching me or learning how to listen. And so thinking outside of the box and listening has been, I would say, two of the most important classes that I took.
Yeah. Wow.
And to add to that, I think where I was going with it is when I was taking that coaching class, when I was playing minor pro hockey in Columbus, Georgia, I had been struggling with hockey. I hadn't been having very much success. And we had that week in coaching class, we learned about self-sabotage as part of, you know, the coaching element of coaching people, how they're self-sabotage. People will self-sabotage themselves. And I named my self-sabotage. I once again spoke it into existence, into this class, admitting it to the 20 other, you know, master's students. That I just was struggling with hockey, and, you know, shared that. And the following weekend, I got my first ever professional hockey shutout. And then I brought that puck in and gave it to my professor. I was like, hey, you can have this, like, you're the reason why I got this. But I think there's this like speaking into existence and that law of attraction of, you know, getting out of our own way. And I think that's the whole idea of like, we can work hard and be accountable to ourselves and be accountable to the team and have a positive attitude and try and stay out of our own way and, you know, have a lot of success in this life. I mean, it's a pretty simple life. Go find some good people, go have some fun, do a little bit of other stuff that Luke will start asking his questions here in a bit. What? You said you have one question you're going to ask me later, aren't you?
I don't know. It depends on where this goes.
Okay.
I
just gotta go with the flow, baby.
I think with your personality of how positive you can be, how you can just keep your head down and keep grinding and hold yourself accountable with kind of the, I mean, it's a little bit of a unique, it is a very unique life story that you have. During that whole kind of hockey career and then transitioning into kind of your actual like business career, did you feel like you had like any regrets?
I prided myself in saying I don't have regrets. That was like something that I would state. I don't have regrets. I live life on purpose. And it's probably how you define regrets, really, because do I wish I had done something else? Probably, but no, I'm just pretty lucky. I'm pretty lucky, you know. I have two amazing daughters, you know, an amazing spouse, good friends, great communities, living in Columbus, Ohio. I mean, we're living in one of the best cities probably in the whole world. We're pretty darn lucky.
I think so. Yeah. Do you, when you look back on your life, do you, if I was asking you, you know, hey, what has been the hardest season of life? Are there things that are like some darker times or some things that you're like, man, this is really rough? Or is there, does nothing come to mind?
That's a really good question. You ever asked that question on this podcast before?
The whole time.
It's a good question. I should probably listen to the podcast more often.
No, that's okay. I just thinking if there's anything that comes to mind right away, where you're like, oh man, this is the hardest season of my life.
There's definitely, so no family's perfect, right? And I think of some of my upbringing and, my dad had to borrow money for me to play my first AAA, first travel hockey team, or actually just to continue probably playing hockey. And from my uncle, or asked him at least to borrow money. And so, I think we had a pretty fortunate household from that standpoint. And I was the oldest, I'm sure my three younger sisters probably had darker days fighting amongst themselves. I kind of got to go and be off on my own a little bit. We had a pretty good outlook on life most of my life. And, we had some family struggles here or there just growing up. And then not a negative standpoint, but some of the darkest days were like just trying to survive being a parent, especially like just when kids are born and, grinding out sleep and trying to work and trying to make it. And you got one kid pooping in the bed and the other kid's puking and you have meetings the next day and then you're getting sick. I mean, there was just, I would say it wasn't a bad or like dark days. Like there was still a lot of love but it wasn't easy. Like I look back, I'm like, I couldn't do that again. Right. I'm like, that's why we're only having two kids. We're done. We're good. I don't want to go through no sleep again. But yeah, that might be some of the tough times. I mean, I have shorter seasons probably, and just with work or stress levels that can spike running an organization. But if I've always had a pretty good community to be able to rely on or reach out to someone, or Morgan's my best friend and she's great to be able to talk with and communicate with. So we have a really good communication relationship. She validates me often because we work together now. Right? She's like, I seek validation a lot, Luke,
Classic three.
Yeah. But nothing, I really have been lucky.
You have mentioned community a lot.
Mm-hmm.
When you eventually moved up from Columbus, Georgia, moved around all over Ohio, kind of doing things all over the place with Alphac, but then interviewed for the role in Columbus and got it.
Mm-hmm.
What has community looked like for you here in Columbus?
Yeah, we settled down for
Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah, correct. Yes. Yeah, Columbus, Ohio. We settled down for a few months and then wanted to be intentional in our efforts of finding the right communities. And we had CrossFitted before and knew that there was
5 years in Georgia.
5 years in Georgia. Mm-hmm.
No open.
No open. Probably did a workout with the open or two as well, but. Yeah, wasn't the same competitive gym that we're at right now. What I mean, you guys? Yeah, all we hear about is the open. If you don't sign up, you're ostracized, right? But after not being able to do toes to bar a year ago, I wasn't going to sign up for the open and not be able to do toes to bar again.
You finished the toes to bar last year.
And then I did like 40 unbroken wall balls.
Yeah,
and like stop doing that. I'm like, I literally just rested. And then
Troy tore his like shoulder.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shout out to Troy. Hopefully Troy's okay.
Troy did. Recently?
No, last year.
I remember that.
Or ring muscle ups.
I don't want to talk about that. So this is in the heebie-jeebies. I was front and center for that.
I was judging Andrew, and I saw Andrew. I heard something over to my behind my right, my 4 o'clock. And then I heard a noise of the 4 o'clock, and then I see Andrew look over there, and I'm like, Andrew, still dial in. Come on, dial in. And I was like, oh my gosh, someone just died over there.
It was the worst. I don't want to talk about it.
It was not good.
So yeah, tell us about the community a little bit more.
Yeah. Troy, hopefully you're okay, buddy.
You had mentioned CrossFit.
Yeah, CrossFit was just, Morgan said, hey, we should go try out this. She went to Orange Theory. just to test Orange Theory out.
Orange for Theory ain't bad. I ain't hitting on Orange Theory. It's CrossFit light.
And then Morgan went, you know, reached out to Christy, and we had went for our first ever workout, right? Because we knew we wanted some community and Murph. We knew Cross. Nope. Our first ever workout, because we had done CrossFit for 5 years, Saturday morning workout with
How did I forget about this? Yeah, so Christy's like, hey, yeah, Joe Almer knows these two people, like, they've done CrossFit before, like they should be okay, whatever. I mean, I'm kind of protective about comp class. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And like, yeah, Joe will be there. Joe wasn't there.
Joe was not there.
They get like, what, 20, maybe 25 minutes in, and then you're both kind of like, yeah, we're gonna stop.
No, that is not what happened. We finished the workout.
No, you guys stopped at least at one point.
No, I was just scaling. I was like, I just said, I'm scaling this workout. Like, don't worry, you can keep coaching these other people. We were really hands off for you, at least. We did not demand very much.
Out of the corner of my eye, I saw maybe I thought you stopped because there's a lot of standing around.
Oh, I was probably breathing. I mean, I hadn't worked out in 3 years.
You're just standing there.
Okay. Just standing, yeah, for excessive amounts of time. Hey, if Luke writes the workout for comp class, as long as you do it as written, you're okay.
Yeah, it's true.
So that was our first test. Thanks, Chrissy, for letting us go to comp class. Totally, and I had no clue it was comp class. Yeah. Joe was like, oh, just...
I love how Joe told you, oh, yeah, just do the 8:30.
Okay. Yeah, you'll be okay.
I'll be there. Joe wasn't there.
And I'm like texting Joe. I'm like, you coming? Like,
and you still decided to come back?
Yeah, we came back.
Wow.
And Luke was coaching us, giving us the stink eye the whole time. Like, who are these people?
Hell yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Luke hates new people.
Yeah. So
no response.
So why was the CrossFit community so attractive to you?
Yeah, just good people.
Look at us.
Yeah, Luke is
pretty just attractive.
You know, so look at us.
Oh. Yeah, Luke is pretty hot. Yeah, keep going.
He is pretty hot. So really good.
Luke loves compliments, by the way.
So many compliments.
I'm gonna break off a bridge.
Luke's also hydrated right now. We should probably talk about
where are you gonna find a bridge,
bro?
Where, in like Venice?
We'll cut this part out.
Yeah, just there's good people, right? Similar goals, good people, good community, a lot of support.
Yeah,
the CrossFit community is very supportive. You have all walks of life committed to fitness. And so just being around good people, working out with good people, it's important to have a gym buddy. And I mean that not just in terms of working out, but in anything, having accountability to a team is important for me, and having a CrossFit community that, you know, will make sure that I'm still okay and reach out to me if I haven't been at the gym for a while is important.
Yeah, Andrew, he's still feeling guilty about the time that he went on vacation, didn't tell anyone. And Nick and I were like worried.
You mean this past like week?
Yeah, like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't say that you were going to be gone. And then you didn't text us back.
It was his birthday.
I was on a cruise. I didn't have any internet.
I already told you. You're still in the doghouse for that.
But that's the type of community, you know?
Most of the reaching out comes in heckling form.
Yeah, and I'm good with that. Yeah, I can handle
it. We're you know, not self-aware, not self-adjusted, you know, old men that can't say, hey, man, I really miss you and I'm just worried about you. It's like, hey, don't be a little bitch.
No, I think I was pretty nice.
When that sounds really more like Ryan.
Yeah, I didn't say like that.
Without the bitch, probably.
I mean, but, I don't know. It depends on the day, you know?
Speaking of Ryan, you had mentioned during dinner that he invited you to men's group, like a Bible study Thursday morning. And that had played a huge part for you in kind of your relationship with God, that you kind of had one all of your life, but something had changed when you joined this Bible study with these group of guys?
Yeah.
What changed for you?
Morgan and I had sought out, you know, additional community, attended a couple of churches and found that we had just started going to Ethos a few times by then. And we started that community in November and CrossFit also in November. And whenever Ryan had actually asked me, it was probably shortly thereafter, December, January, February, when he first asked if I wanted to.
2022, 2023.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep. If I wanted to come to, you know, to a Bible study, and invited me out. And I think that, it was probably the right timing. We were looking for a community, and just to be invited, that doesn't happen all the time for someone to extend an invite, to extend, you know, a welcome into that inner circle. So I think it was probably timing. It was, that I was seeking for that, you know, community in faith at this time. So it was really good for that, in terms of being going to church and then having these cross. And it's so weird. I think back to my experience in CrossFit in Columbus, Georgia, and Fort Benning's in Columbus, Georgia. And that's like military town. And so it's, you know, the still same community, still same, you know, great people. This gym just has a different feel than that gym had. And, you know, and it's probably the right time for us to have had that experience in Columbus, Georgia, to prep us for CrossFit here, but a perfect timing for Ryan to, you know, say, hey, come check out this Bible study. And if you want to stick around and continue to explore your faith, you're welcome to do that.
Well, coming up on time, is there, what else do we want to make sure we...
I don't care about time. Let's run it.
Oh, okay. What else do we want to know?
I want to know, why were you so intrigued in seeking a community that was based in faith? Hmm. Why was that attractive to you? Why do you want that? Hmm.
As we talked at dinner, I grew up going to church when I was younger, and that was very important for me. And so having that for my children is important. I want them to have those experiences, and I want to lead by example. So having a community that is focused in faith, I think there's just been this shift in terms of, you know, growing up in my 20s, what goals can I have? What can I go accomplish in this world? What can I go tackle? You get to your 30s, and now that I'm 39, there's this shift in terms of, you know, what does a successful life look like? And a lot of that has shifted, you know, from like, oh, uber success and make lots of money and promotions and titles and whatever else, to back to community and just being surrounded by good people. And I've just found this direction is, you know, David and Ryan were at my baptism. You know, I'd never been baptized. My family had dedicated me. Grew up in the Mennonite church, so Anabaptists. So, and not Old Order Mennonites for all of you listening, right? Just growing up in terms of, you know, choosing when you want to be baptized. Mm. And so I had gone through a few times in my life where I was ready to choose to be baptized, and for whatever reason, it just hadn't come to fruition. And just being in a community of CrossFit people who, you know, had a directional focus of faith, and going to church with Morgan and our girls and starting to build that community and getting more involved, it was just the right timing. And so I think it's more about what I want in life. And a lot of that has continued to shift towards, trying to be a light for others, trying to spread love and peace to others. And, you know, a lot of that, I think I grew up being like, oh, Jesus, what is Jesus? How does that, you know, how does Jesus fit into my life? Or should I be praying to God or Jesus? What should I do? And the more that I've continued to learn about Jesus and the New Testament and the Bible, it's just about love, right? It's everything that I want for myself, for our, you know, for my friends, for others, for my children. I just want there. I know we're going to deal with difficult times. And I know tonight I haven't shared very much about, you know, the extreme, you know, situations, but a lot of that has to deal with mentality as well, like how you approach a negative situation. But I think I just keep coming back to, I want to be more like Jesus, be for other people, and, you know, spread love like Jesus did and be accepting of others. And so I think it was a lot of timing, and both from a preparedness of where I was at in life and what I was looking for and how I want to live and what I want my family to experience and how I want to be that for other people.
Andrew, you're such a positive guy. I'm not even sure we need to go down this that page.
I think we have to.
Luke, how about you kick it off, and then I want to know what's your thoughts on the Canadian piece, but we'll get to that.
And then pushing peeves. You know about this section? You have to have a peeve that you like
a pet peeve.
And so Luke usually gives his pet peeves.
Yes.
Or peeve. I laugh at it.
Pet peeves. So I need to come up with pet peeves.
Yeah. Just one is fine. I have two. One is absolutely ridiculous. The other one, like, really hurt a nerve recently.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
Yes. Which one do you want first?
Give me the ultra. I think they're both going to be the same, pretty much.
No.
Go in the order you just shared them.
The ridiculous one first?
Yeah.
Okay, so you know those. Are you laughing at me already?
No, I burped.
Oh. So you go to, like, the refrigerated section in the store, and they have the, like, little canisters of dough.
Yeah.
That you hit, or like you take a spoon and then it like all kind of like comes out a little bit.
Yeah,
I hate that. Like, that just makes me ugh. It's like ugh. When you hit that thing against the,
is that a pet peeve or is that just getting gross?
It's
out?
Like an ick and a pet peeve. Like,
it sounds more like an
ick. Really don't like that. When you hit it and it like partially comes out and it's kind of,
it like breaks open.
It breaks open. It like, yeah. And there's like the little, like,
I think you're doing it wrong. You're not actually supposed to hit it.
No, you're supposed to.
You're supposed to like unwind the wrapping.
No, you hit it.
There's actually directions on it that says you're supposed to
unwind. Okay. Any normal white person who lived in the 90s know that you hit it on something.
You know what I actually do is I actually unwrap it and then I push my thumb right on the seam and then it pops open.
No, you can actually. Okay, I hit it, and it comes out, and it looks like...
Dare I say that pet peeve was half-baked.
It looks like a hernia.
What's the one that pushed your button recently? Or touched your button, or whatever the saying is.
Okay, how am I going to word this? Okay, when there's... Say, in this particular situation, and it usually is interpersonal... This situation doesn't even directly involve me. I'm a third party to this situation, but I'm also like, it's slightly involved, but not directly involved. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a weird setup. Anyway, I hate when people, then there's clearly a problem and people just pretend like everything is fine. Like there's a clear problem. And we both know what, like, okay, for example, for Andrew, like, say between Andrew and I, we both know something, like, Andrew did something wrong, okay? And I know that what Andrew did wrong, and Andrew knows what he did wrong, and Andrew knows that I know. But we just pretend like, he pretends like, and I pretend like there's nothing wrong there. Like, and people just try to go along and, like, everything's normal.
So, like, let's say I did comp class and I had to do the whatever rest period cash out, and you're like, Andrew, you gotta do it, and then you watch me the whole time and I don't do it, but then you also don't want to come at me, so you avoid bringing it up, and then we both know that it didn't happen.
This is not the situation I'm talking about, but
yes,
that's a very good example of this. But
by the way,
however,
I always do my rest period catch-up.
And this particular situation, it was people like interpersonal like drama strife, okay? And I know what happened, and they know that I know what happened. But know that I know what happened. So everybody knows.
And no one's talking about it.
And like, there's clear,
oh my God.
Walls
David's
and
face.
Boundaries. And like, just like, there's clear strife between people, and everyone just pretends like everything's okay.
David looks
like,
so
you
angry.
You just call it out. Like, you said, I can't believe people
addressing the elephant in the room.
Thank you. There we go.
Yes.
Address
the
elephant in the room.
Be more like a buffalo and less like a cow.
I have no clue what that means.
What?
Or a bison. You know what a bison does when a storm's coming in?
A bison?
A buffalo bison?
It's a bison, not a bison.
That's how they say it in Alaska.
Because they're basically Canadian.
A bison?
So, Andrew.
A bison.
Thank you.
A bison.
A bison.
A bison will charge towards the storm and minimize the amount of time that they stay in the storm. A cow will run away from the storm. And as the storm goes on, the cow then is in the storm for a lot longer. And you're saying people should just go and communicate about their problems.
I love that analogy. I've never heard that before.
You've never heard that before?
No.
I had no idea what a bison was. David is trying to process the math of the bison running towards the storm.
Here's the deal. Okay, every week I secretly look forward to you. Now, there's long, drawn out dramatization. You get hot. You're like,
this is like
a big thing about pet peeve. And out the gates, you're like, yeah, I don't like crescent rolls. Or, you know what?
It's not the crescent
people
rolls themselves.
People should actually talk about their shit. And I'm like, what is happening here? You ruined my segment that I enjoy so much.
I thought you did a great job. So, Andrew. And now he feels guilty.
Yeah, that is very Andrew. Andrew, hey, one of my pet peeves, one of my first ever pet peeves, was the freaking Canadian geese. They come in Ohio, they pee, they poop, they hiss everywhere. They cross the road when they clearly fly. I, no joke, to this day, stand by this. My whole life is on this story. I watched in the corner of my brother's exit of his house, there's an outpatient rehab center or whatever. I see a dude in a wheelchair, one leg in a wheelchair, on a Sunday, strolling down the sidewalk in his wheelchair.
He wasn't strolling.
Rolling down the sidewalk in his wheelchair. And he couldn't continue because there's a flock of geese on the path.
I mean, if that isn't a case to back up our Second Amendment to carry a gun, I don't know what is.
What's geese like up in there, up north, in Alaska?
Up in Alaska.
Do you have a disdain for this geese as well? Or are they friendly up there?
As soon as they cross the border, they switch their attitude.
I immediately
knew it. Immediately, we got those suckers trained.
Like, hey, why don't you go? Just
as soon as they smell the maple syrup,
they hold their poop all as they fly from Canada to the U.S.
Nonstop. It's a nonstop flight, and when they get here, they just let it rip.
Yeah.
Do you have any pet peeves?
Yeah.
I'm sure I have a lot of pet peeves. One of my biggest pet peeves is slow drivers in the left lane.
Mm.
Yeah. Grinds my gears.
Frost your pumpkin?
It frosts my pumpkins. Is that an actual thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What is something new every day?
Just the bison and the cows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. Drivers that are so delusional on a 10 scale just grind my gears.
You're going to use that against me for the rest of your life, aren't you?
Probably.
All right.
At least for the next week.
Okay.
Any other pet peeves?
Yes. Leaving, washing clothes in the washer, and then not moving them to the dryer in a timely manner.
What's timely?
Like, so that you don't have to wash them again. Like, if you do them that night, put them in the dryer that night.
Is this related to a particular person?
No marital disputes here. Where she was pretty good. My parents were just here too, so. Yeah. It's probably more of a
recency bias.
Yeah, more of a parental thing than mom, dad, love you.
Those are pretty good. I agree with you. I strategically plan out sometimes when I'm going to start the washer so that situation never happens. So, like, sometimes I always use post-it notes. So I'll leave a post-it note that says, like, hey, hit the washer right before you leave. Mm. So that way, as soon as I get back home from the gym, I can immediately transition them into the dryer. But I have to make sure I get another post-it note to then remind me. Because sometimes external reminders is one less thing in your head to think about and remember. And the external reminder's there, and it's like, boom, done. Don't have to ever worry about it.
Big, big, big goal of mine. We live in the ravines at Westar, right across from the gym. Is when we get a place, main floor laundry, wherever the master bedroom is, that's where the laundry has to be. Mm.
Love that.
Yeah. Mm. Love that. If you're upstairs, laundry's got to be upstairs. If you're on the main floor, laundry's got to be there.
Love that. That's good.
Okay. You got a pet peeve?
Too sorry that my pet peeves weren't good enough for you. Again, I'm sorry I've ruined your life every other week by my pet peeves being not up to your standards, considering you only have like two of them.
I actually just have another insanely...
Put your hand down.
Your pet peeve. David... not appreciating your pet peeves.
No, he's just being an ass is what he's doing.
I actually have another pet peeve. That's like a legit pet peeve that makes me mad every time. This one sounds ridiculous when I say it out loud. Poorly run Indian restaurants. Make me so pissed. It gets me so mad. It is just... it breaks my heart.
Oh my gosh.
You walk in. Hey, I'm talking to you, Godavari in Cincinnati. Okay. Thanks. I'm talking to you.
Someone wow.
I showed up to your restaurant and I told all my family members about it. And I was like, hey, you're going to love this place. It's so hard for me to bring other white people to Indian restaurants because the food's delicious. But you walk in. No lights are turned on. There's no host up front. You walk in, you seat the person, you don't give them any instruction. No, they're just open. They just didn't turn on the lights. No TVs on, no music on. Only thing lighting up this whole restaurant is the natural sunlight. The food's phenomenal. But it's how is this approachable to any white person? You know, you walk in.
Is this just normal for like
not? It's normal for every single Indian restaurant you go to.
They're just like
Adam, I know you're listening. When I took you to that Indian restaurant, that was probably one of the finer Indian restaurants I went to because they had someone to greet you. They had music. They had some sort of structure of how to like operate a buffet. You go to any other Indian restaurant, and that's not the case. It's simple. Indian people figure this out. You're making us look bad. That's all I'm saying.
But you're Malaysian.
I know, but my roots.
Oh.
That's all I'm trying to say. If you're trying to spread the culture, make it easy to white people. They're scared of everything. They're already scared of the spice. Just make it easy for them. The barrier entry is so high. Just make it easier. All you got to do is turn the TV on, turn the lights on, turn the music on. Have someone say, oh, hello. And just like, seat them. Can I get you something to drink? That's all you need. There's none of that. It's easy. Like... so that's my that like,
thank you. That was good.
Like they're making Aaron us look greatest. So bad. I just like there's a part of me that's like, man, I what can like I feel like I have to do something about this, but I can't. Maybe I can't. I don't know. So this is the turmoil.
Consulting business.
in
restaurant consulting business.
How to make your restaurant approachable to white people.
Yeah. But
101.
It
it really is.
We have a pamphlet.
Yeah.
It's like, and you know the best.
We're gonna. Yeah, it's gonna be on the pamphlet.
And the best way to freaking advertise it is to make some sort of like a sketchy Facebook ad, because then it's like all the Indian people look at it and be like, oh yeah, that looks reputable. I'm gonna go click on that. It's like, oh my gosh.
I'm gonna get canceled.
That's fine. Like, they gotta know. They gotta know.
Okay. Well, to all the Indian restaurant owners listening to this podcast,
step your game up. Jeez, Godfrey.
I'm never going to Indian food with you.
No, if you go to Indian food with me, it will be the greatest experience of your life, because I hold high standards.
We went to that one place downtown.
Yeah, Rue is phenomenal.
Yeah,
that's like a fine dining Indian restaurant.
Yeah, it also was like, you're talking about like white people are scared of everything. Like, I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah, but they made it easy. They gave you a menu.
Yeah, with no pictures on it or descriptions.
But the descriptions were there. But
no. It was like, so honestly, it was, no, don't get me wrong. I loved it.
It was phenomenal food. It was fine dining. There's a Yelp.
Megan hated it.
What?
Because there's no pictures. There's no, they're like, oh, hey, this is a goudache. And you're like, cool, great. Don't know.
No, but it's on Yelp. You can see the stuff on Yelp.
So you have to go to another. So we had to go to a different party. Yeah, third party. And then people are like, you ready to order yet? And I was like, no, I don't know what any of your menu means.
I'll give Rue a pass.
I love Rue. I thought it was actually outstanding food. And we picked luckily.
Yeah. Well, I think I told you what to order.
Yeah, we were texting you in the middle of it.
Yeah, I told you what to order. But you go to this Indian buffet and it's like two Indian words and you're like, what is this? You know, you roll up and you're like, what's paneer? I don't know. You know, so
let's give it a try.
I'm done.
I think I had some paneer on the cruise.
Oh, good.
Is it like a pastry type with something in it?
No. Not at all.
We need to go a field trip to an Indian restaurant.
Yeah. Oh, put that on.
We'll cut part of this out, but man, like, that really, like, God, like, I was frustrated. So frustrated. Every, like, most Indian place I go to, it's like, come on, guys. It's like, just play music. Don't make it awkward. Like,
what kind of music?
Anything. Put on some Bollywood music. Go on Spotify. Like, it feels more authentic that way. Anyways,
you walk in, it's like Nicki Minaj.
Yeah. Like, at least
Jay-Z.
Something. Yeah.
All right. Well,
2 minute drill.
We ask you questions for 2 minutes, and you have to answer as fast as you can.
Okay. Right off the cuff.
Okay.
Honesty. You ready for this, Andrew?
Ready.
Holly, who's gonna start?
I'll start.
Okay, you ready?
Uh-huh.
Set. Go.
Ketchup or mustard?
Mustard.
What is your favorite CrossFit movement?
Cleans. Hand cleans. Mm-hmm.
Dogs or cats?
Mm, dogs.
Would you rather have an octopus stuck to your face for the rest of your life, or be stuck naked in the desert?
Oof. Probably octopus stuck to my face for the rest of my life.
Interesting. Okay.
What's your favorite quality of Morgan?
Mm. Physical?
Sure. If you want to make it physical.
Just answer the question. Bum.
Right. What is your favorite character quality about yourself?
This is so deep. My friendship for others.
Term life, whole life, universal life. What do you offer? Like, what would you recommend?
I would recommend a combination of a couple of those, term and a whole or universal.
Okay, so all three.
If there was
a term and either a whole
or
a universal.
If there's a billboard that the entire world could see, what would you put on there?
Mm. Love others.
What's your least favorite color?
Oof. Black.
It's not a color.
White.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, black's totally a color. It's actually my favorite. Yeah.
Black is not a color. It's the absence of color.
Come on.
What is your thoughts on poutine?
Love it.
Okay.
Do you come from a far positive household?
Yes.
If you were born a female, what were your parents named you?
Oof, great. Probably Andrea.
Oh, well done.
If you could live anywhere in the world besides Canada, the U.S., Mexico, just throw Mexico in there because I feel like that's always combined. Where would you live?
Probably in Germany with my sister.
Very cool.
Frankfurt?
Berlin.
Dude, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Any closing notes, gents?
I'm happy that you're part of our community. I mean, I'm really excited that you came on the podcast. I think that, the gym is better because you're there. But I think, regardless of the podcast, I was just excited to have you around.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. And it's cool that you guys do this. I think it's really important to get to know people. And so I think I'm sure you guys are enjoying it. I'm jealous that you guys get to ask all the questions. I'd rather reciprocate a little bit more of that and get to know you guys a little bit more.
You know, funny enough, there's been some other people, specifically one other individual whom may be my boss, who also then suggests that he should ask questions to us. So I don't know. Maybe we should start allowing people to ask us questions.
We already have our podcast out.
Yeah, maybe. Well, it's one question you want to ask. Just one.
Yeah, I'm not prepared for that. It's more of a reciprocation of it, but
cool. Well, thanks for having us on the podcast.
We'll be on the spotlight, Matt.
We'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Bye.